Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake reminding you again, subscribe, rate, review, anywhere you get your podcasts, especially the rate and review part really helps us out with the whole algorithm thing of how podcasts work. I don't get it exactly, but I know it's beneficial. We appreciate it. I hope you appreciate it. Also, check out mjdoubletake.com. This website's been up for a couple months now. I think most recent articles about USC football, why they haven't been able to figure it out. Joined by Matt, as always, who edited that article, and we haven't talked about it, and we're not going to on this episode, at least, maybe next one. But we just have a whole bunch of NBA stuff to talk about because that starts tomorrow.
It has been way too long since there's been NBA basketball.
So excited.
The NBA. So excited. Yeah, Matt, the NBA is really the only league where I can, you know, watch a game where it's not the team that I'm rooting for, you know, like even the NFL, like if it's not the Eagles, I'm not super intrigued, but like the NBA, like I could watch the Thunder play like the Bucks.
I love basketball. So what we're going to talk about, we're not going to do a preview because we feel like pretty much everyone's done a preview. We each picked five teams and I don't think there's a lot of overlap. We're going to talk about those five teams. So we picked them for random reasons, just something that intrigues us about that team, maybe a specific player, if we think they're going to exceed or maybe do worse than they're expected and why. So we're going to go through our lists. We did a little checking just because Matt mentioned something about a contract. But for the most part, we didn't tell each other the list, so there might be a little bit of overlap. Also, Matt, you can mention this. We're going to talk about it at the end. But the World Marathon, for the first time, someone ran under 2 hours, which is an absurd rate, like that a human can run that fast for that far. So that's how we're going to end the show, with a little soliloquy by Matt talking about the marathon.
Yes, I am. I'm excited to talk about it. We don't get to talk about marathon running very much, like if at all. So this
and
should be good.
For good reason. It took someone running under 2 hours to get us talking about the marathon, but. Matt, do you want to do your first team or my first team? Who do you want to start with?
I'll do a team real quick.
Okay, so what is your team on your list? Team number one.
Yes. Yeah, so this isn't team number one. I think they're a good team to start with, but they're not the team that I'm most interested in, I guess we could say. But I would like to talk about the Portland Trail Blazers.
Let's talk about Portland. I have some stuff to say about Portland, and I felt like you were going to pick them, so I didn't put them on my list. One game that, Matt, we're going to play about a couple weeks in the season is who's on what team now. So we're going to pick because there's a few players that have moved around the league, and Portland has a couple of them. So just heads up, Matt, in a week or two, we're going to play that game. But okay. What interests you about Portland? I have some thoughts as well.
Yeah, so the thing with Portland is I just don't really know what to do with them because every year what happens with Portland is we say, you know, Dame is great, CJ's great, they don't really have – they sort of have big guys but not really, and they just don't have the wing talent to be a great team. And then some people think they're not going to make the playoffs. Other people think they're going to be the 8th seed. Inevitably, they get between the 5 and the 3 seed. They'll go to the second round of the playoffs. Often they'll go to the conference finals, but they're never quite good enough to actually get to the NBA finals. Maybe that's just because we've had the Warriors all these years. So the thing is, I just don't know what the right decision is because they clearly, you know, have talent. Nurkic is a lot better than I think we thought that he was. Zach Collins is nice. Rodney Hood is nice. And those guys are both cheap. You know, but it just doesn't feel like they're going to be good enough to win a final. But also it feels like they're too good to blow it up.
Well, yeah, because people saying blow it up if you're Portland because the CJ and Dame thing hasn't worked. If I'm a Portland fan, I mean, there's nothing wrong with consistently winning 50 games and winning one or two playoff series. Obviously the goal is to win, but you've seen teams try to blow it up and they haven't recovered for years. So I think where Portland at is not a bad spot. I'm interested to see their front court use of Nurkic, their center who went down. He doesn't come back until February. So around the All-Star break is the expected date for that. They traded for Hassan Whiteside. It was kind of a black hole in Miami last season. Matt, here's what I want to see from Portland. And I'd have to look at the logistics, but I would love, pure entertainment value, no rooting interest, to see Kevin Love get with the Blazers. If the Kevin Love, CJ McCollum, and Damian Lillard, that might be my favorite in the West with those three.
That would be your favorite in the West.
So. I love Kevin Love as a player. I think he's such a good shooter, good rebounder. And last year we saw CJ and Dame, Portland got, I think they were the third seed. They went to the Western Conference Finals and got hosed by Golden State. But like Dame has proven that in the playoffs, he's legit, a legitimate number one player, can take over a game. And they have I think it's fair to say, the best backcourt in the league. So if they added Kevin Love at the four, they get Yusuf Nurkic back at the five. And then you got wings like Nasir Little from North Carolina is going to be a rookie. I don't think Mario Hezonja is that bad. He used to play for the Knicks last year. They lost Jake Layman, which I flip-flop on if I think that's a bad loss or not. The kid from Maryland is now in Minnesota. But I think with Kevin Love, and I don't think it's a realistic trade that's going to happen, but I kind of think they'd be my favorite in the West. I like Portland, is what I'm saying. I think they're a good team as it stands right now.
Yeah, no, I think they're good. I think with Kevin Love, I think they could score with anybody. And you know, I think Kevin Love fits really nicely with Hassan Whiteside. I still think even with Hassan Whiteside in the game, I'm not sure that they can defend well enough to stop some of these teams with really, really good wing talent. You know, certainly like the Clippers, or honestly even the Jazz, I'm not sure that they could keep up with stopping those teams defensively. And that would be the big problem that I have. But I think you're right. I think it would make them better. And I think it'd be a super, super scary team offensively.
Yeah. So we'll see. I think Portland is a piece away from being a legitimate title contender, but without doing the math, I think they'd be a playoff team. And you know, you're not going to be able to construct a perfect roster. So I think the people saying blow it up aren't appreciating what Portland's done, how good they've been, and how hard it is to be that good for that long.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think, you know, being a consistent 50-win team and never winning is, you know, honestly, I would probably rather have that than winning one title every 30 years and sucking the other 25 years. You know what I mean? Like, I know that's not what you're supposed to think, but, like, honestly, when your team's bad, it's miserable, you know? And so, like, at least in Portland, like, people are having
fun. I think you're the minority, but I also get what you're saying, for sure.
I know, yeah, and, like, you want to win, you want to try and do everything to win, but, like, can you, like, being a Sixers fan a few years ago, or being a Suns fan right now, or, like, being a Knicks fan, for example, like, if the Knicks won one title, I know people would be happy, but I don't know if people would be like, oh, it was worth those 40 years of just being terrible.
Well, I mean, I don't think Portland's winning for a while, so we're not going to find out. Just a side note, if you hear any meowing or hissing, that's my cat. I'm letting her in the room while we record for the first time in a while, seeing how she does. Matt, any more Portland thoughts before we go to the next team?
No, only thing that I was thinking about that I think is interesting is, like, when you look at these, you know, the NBA seems to be built around duos right now, like, you know, with the Clippers and the Lakers and the Rockets. I'm interested to see, the NBA has mostly revolved around having really good wings. I'm interested to see how, like, a Portland, or I don't really want to talk about Houston, or like how Houston does, where their big guys are their guards, and whether the guards can hang with these wing heavy teams, or whether, you know, or whether they're just not going to be able to defend them. So that's another thing that I'm interested in with Portland, is how do the two guards stack up with a guard and a wing, or two wings?
Cool. Well, my first team, Matt, on my list is the Dallas Mavericks. Oh, perfect. Well, let's talk about Dallas. Well, really, for me, this is just Luka on the list. Why did you put Dallas on there?
Yeah, just, you know, I think they're young. I think they're fun to watch. That's pretty much it. A lot of the young and fun to watch does revolve around Luka. But, you know, I'm interested to see, you know, like, what does Kristaps look like? Because if Kristaps, you know, if he looks solid and healthy, like, they could be a very, very dangerous team. They're not going to have the cap space, I think, to really be a title contender for a couple of years. But in a few years, they might be able to make some really nice trades and get a couple more pieces. That'd be a very scary
team. Yeah, I think, well, the pro for Dallas is I legit think Luka is a top 15 player. I think he's a dark horse MVP candidate. The question mark is Kristaps. We haven't seen him in almost 2 years. That's how long he's been from that. I think we're kind of taking for granted that he'll be automatically right back into the swing of how good he was in New York. And also, the question mark, then this is why I think Dallas's ceiling is probably about 45 wins on the high end, and I don't think they get to 50, is who's their third best player? Is it Seth Curry? Is it J.J. Barea? Is it Tim Hardaway Jr.? Is it Boban?
Right, yeah. Yeah, no, that is the problem. And that's I agree with you. They would need to make some trades or sign some pieces before they're really a title contender, because they just don't. You know, Tim Hardaway's fine, but he's not going to cut it.
I'm nervous, but I think Luka's good enough. Even if Kristaps doesn't come out of the gate right away, I love Luka Doncic. It might be my favorite player to watch and just, you know, want him to do well. I think he's going to do real. I legit think he has a. If Dallas, let's say they push 45, get like a push for like the 60 or something like that. I know historically your team has to be top three to win, but I think you'd get some MVP consideration.
Yeah, well, that'd be interesting. If he's getting MVP consideration this young on a bad team, that would I would be surprised. I feel like a lot of the MVP has to do with storylines, and I just don't think he's going to have the storyline to get it, but I'd be surprised if he doesn't get an MVP in the next, I'd say,
off the top of your head, without having the math in your head, do you think Dallas makes the playoffs? I don't either. No. I think they're probably like right around where Sacramento's at for me. You know, like get like Sacramento last year. I mean, you know, like really close, really young, exciting team. But let's say Luka has a bad night, Kristaps doesn't come back early. Like, who's going to take over the game? So I think that's going to hold them back. I think ceiling is 45 in like that 6-7 range. But I think probably about 541-ish is probably where I see him at. Which doesn't sound like that much, but like last year in the West, that was the difference between like the third seed and missing the playoffs altogether.
Right.
Well, that's Dallas. So,
yeah.
I guess we've done two on your list then. So, do you want to do another one on my list? Let's see if this matches up. I think it might with you. I had Philadelphia. Wow, we're, you know, twins. I think this is where the overlap's going to stop. But so we both had Dallas and Philadelphia. I'm interested, Matt, just because they're the biggest team in the NBA. And I have a couple question marks about them. What are your thoughts on the Sixers?
Yeah, just so big. I think a lot of people are saying that the Clippers are going to be the best team defensively in the league. I think that, you know, at least in the playoffs, I think the Sixers are going to be the best team defensively. I think in the regular season, just because of depth, it either is going to be the Clippers or the Jazz. But I mean, if you're getting these five guys to play, you know, 70 or 80% of your minutes, Tobias Harris, Al Horford, Joel Embiid, Josh Richardson, and Ben Simmons, that is just it's long and it's scary. You know, I don't know a ton about Josh Richardson. I understand he's a fine defensive player, better than average. Tobias Harris is okay, but when you've got Horford and Embiid and just how big Simmons is, that is just so scary. Now, what they don't have is their guy who's going to be able to, you know, just go make his own shot. Like, I don't know. I don't think Josh Richardson is that guy. I think they want Tobias Harris to be that guy, and from watching him, that doesn't seem like his MO. So for me, even as good as they are defensively, I think there's just going to be that time when they need a bucket. And
well, yeah,
I
that
don't
was my literally my big question mark with them is last year in the playoffs, especially. But let's say, you know, 2 minutes left, need a bucket. Jimmy Butler wanted the ball. Jimmy Butler got the ball, and Butler often came up for him. They don't have that guy anymore. Joel Embiid has said it's going to be him. I just don't know if you can play inside out in the last 2 minutes of a game, down by one, down by four, whatever. You know what I mean? Or I don't know if you can ice the game inside out. I also would love to see Joel Embiid take less threes. But that's more of a minor thing than anything else.
Right. Well, it's going to be – I'm very interested to see Al Horford and Joel Embiid on the court at the same time. And it's because they're both really good defensive big guys. They can both shoot. They both have pretty good range. I would say Al Horford has better range than Joel Embiid does. Al Horford, I think, is a better passer. Joel Embiid's a better rim protector. There just seems to be a lot of overlap with skills, and I just, even with as good of it as going to be defensively, I just don't know if it's the best way to use your resources. I feel like those $28 million that Al Horford's getting, I don't think there was anybody else for them to get, but it probably would have been better used on a different player.
I legitimately think Philadelphia signed Al Horford so he couldn't play for Boston and guard Joel Embiid in the playoffs. I think it was worth it to them, even if they have some struggles, because Al Horford has shut down Embiid the last, 2 years ago in playoffs. I don't think they played last year, but he was going to. Like, Horford's owned Joel Embiid for the last couple of years since it's been the Boston-Philly rivalry. Horford's a good player. He adds a lot, but you're right. They could have spent more money somewhere else, maybe added that fifth year to Jimmy Butler. I legit think it was worth it to them to get Horford off of Boston and onto their team, so he couldn't guard Joel Embiid.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, I don't know. Another Philly team, the Eagles, tried to do this with the Cowboys a few years ago, signing DeMarco Murray, and I will say it did not work for them. So hopefully it doesn't work for the Sixers
either.
Yeah,
I'm interested. Josh Richardson, he's one of those players who's like, you know, in a you know the term better than me, but like a distribution graph where most of it's in the middle. That's where Josh Richardson's at.
Yeah.
Where you could, I think you could, he's a good player, but you could interchange him with a lot of guys in the league and probably get the same result, especially since he's going to be, the fourth option on offense for him?
Fourth or fifth? I mean, I would say fifth, you know, even with Embiid's shot, I still feel like he's going to be getting, you know, between 15 and 20 points a game, which I don't think
Richardson takes a big step as a wing player, then I think that'll help him. But that's what I'm interested to see out of Philadelphia. And yeah, man, they're enormous. All right. Should I do another team since you've done three and I've done two technically? All right.
Yeah,
this one I'm 99% sure you don't have. But I know you're interested in them. I got Sacramento. Here's what I like about Sacramento, what I want to see out of Sacramento. And what I'm confused about Sacramento is they didn't really do anything in the offseason. They kind of just, other than fire their coach, hire Luke Walton. Do you think Luke Walton's a good coach, Matt? I feel like he's kind of riding on that, 40-4 start or whatever he had with Golden State that 1 year as the interim.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say probably. I mean, I don't really know what else he could have done with the Sixers, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have any reason to think he's a bad coach. And I think he learned a lot of really good things from Steve Kerr, and I think that's valuable. But he hasn't shown me one way or another whether or not he's a good coach. I think this is going to be a better – because I think the Lakers sort of were the Lakers. Like, they were in fourth place in the West before LeBron got hurt, which is about, you know, where they should have been given the roster that they had. And then without LeBron, there was just nothing really that I think he could have done. This young Sacramento team, I think there's a lot of things that he can move around and try to do. So I think we're gonna learn more about him.
This is a big year for Luke Walton. I think he's better than given credit for. So he's better than getting fired, let's put it that way. But Sacramento, their roster, they got Trevor Ariza, Matt, who ever since Houston has kind of bounced around a little bit. They're paying Harrison Barnes $24 million. What's the Bahama dude, Buddy Hield? He has got a contract extension, so I don't think that kicks in this year, but he's got a big extension. De'Aaron Fox is the fastest point guard in the league. I like Bogdan Bogdanovic. He's going to come off the bench this year. He's a wing player for them. I don't think this will be significant as a player, but Yogi Ferrell out of Indiana, he's my man. They got Kyle Guy, that Virginia dude who I didn't like at Virginia, but he's on the Kings now. I think they got an interesting roster. I think Bagley is kind of listed as a power forward, but really a five. They got some flexibility, got some shooting. I think they're going to be probably – last year they're either the ninth or tenth seed. I think they finished with 39 wins, so right below 500. I think they're going to take a jump as a team, but it's not going to reflect in the record just because of how much better and more deep the West got than last season. Does that make sense? So I think they'll probably finish 10th,
yes,
10th, 11th maybe, just because there's honestly 13, except for Phoenix and Memphis, the other 13 teams in the West can make a case for why they're going to make the playoffs and be a competitive team. So I think Sacramento is one of those teams, but I don't think they're as good as some of the other top teams in the West. So I don't think they make the playoffs, even though they take a jump. So I'm interested to see if they make a trade, if they stand pat. The restricted free agent market, or even the unrestricted free agent market, isn't great next year, which is part of the reason they tried to lock up Buddy Hield. He's going to be a restricted free – was going to be a restricted free agent, not anymore. I'm interested. I think they're going to be fun to watch, a good young team. De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley are a great combination. I don't think they make the playoffs, though.
Yeah, I agree with that. Real quick, with Buddy Hield's contract extension, I'm curious what you think, because he was offered 4 years, $90 million, and he said that was an insult. The contract that he accepted just today, the first one was only a few days ago, what he accepted today was 4 years, $94 million. So it can be up to $106 million in guarantees. But to me, it seems like if $90 million was an insult, he was looking for a lot
closer. Yeah, he said max. He mentioned max in the locker room. And for him, it's kind of the same situation as Jaylen Brown in Boston. That's the name, right? I'm not messing that up. It's Jaylen Brown. I don't know why I like froze on that for a second. Where they're young guys, like the team just because of the market doesn't want to give them the max, even if they in a vacuum deserve it. Buddy Hield last 2 years, he shot about 43% from the three, 42.5 2 years ago, 43% last year. But he only averaged like 13 points a game last season. So he's really just a shooter. So I'm on Sacramento's team. And I feel like if you're talking about getting the max and trying to make like a stand like that, and I don't know what the incentives are. The only other contract I've seen with big incentives was Joel Embiid's, where a lot of it was health related, where basically if he stayed healthy, he was going to get it. So I'd be interested to see what the incentives are for Buddy Hield. But off the bat, it looks like Sacramento won that contract holder out, whatever you want to call it.
Definitely. Yeah, so real quick, I'm on Basketball Reference. It looks like the last season he averaged closer to 21 points a game. The season before that he had 13 points a game. But still, I think you're right. I think he is more of a shooter than a scorer. He's got a really good three-point percentage, but he's not that get-your-own-shot guy like Donovan.
Yeah, because De'Aaron Fox isn't as good of a shooter.
Probably De'Aaron Fox.
But he can cook you if you need a bat. He's the guy for Sacramento's, like, if we need a bucket, De'Aaron Fox is going to have the ball. And you're right. I just flip-flopped the years on my computer screen. But you're right. Last year was about 20 of 21 a game.
Yeah, but still, I think, you know, even with that good year last year, I'm hesitant to give really anybody a max contract. I know sometimes you have to, but
do you think they make playoffs?
Sacramento, Buddy Hield a max.
All right. I think we're agreeing so far on who's making playoffs, who's not making playoffs. Let me Philadelphia really quick, then we'll go to your next team. Do you think they're the number one seed in the East?
No, I think the Bucks probably are. I think the Bucks are a little bit more consistent. I know they're missing Brogdon, which is going to be a problem. But I feel like this, especially Horford and Embiid playing on the same time, that might
see,
take,
I think Philadelphia is going to get the number one seed, but I think Milwaukee is going to come out of the East in the playoffs. But I think regular season Philadelphia will have a better record than them. It's going to be close. It's those two teams for sure, not even close. But Matt, let's go to your next team. Who do you got?
Let's go. Let's see. Yeah, we've got time to go through the rest of my teams. So I will say the Miami Heat. And the Miami Heat interest me because I don't have
Miami's on my list. They weren't on my list, but I thought you were going to have them is why I think I didn't put them on mine. So I wanted to. I kind of think Miami's going to be – could be like the top four seed in the East. And I don't know what their plan is, but I think this year is going to work out okay. They got Jimmy Butler, obviously. Goran Dragic is a really good point guard. I think those are the top two players. Would you agree with that, Butler and Dragic? Some people say Bam Adebayo. I still think Dragic is there, but I think I'm higher on Goran than most people are.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's interesting because like this year's going to be good. It's definitely not enough to win the East or really probably get into the finals of the East. But I just know like a lot of people are talking about like them getting Chris Paul, and like I just don't understand like why you want to get Chris Paul and then just have no cap flexibility until like 2022 or 2023 or whatever it is, when you know he's just going to get worse and worse, and so like. Like, and Goran Dragic, he'll be 34 next year, and I wouldn't expect them to sign again, so he's going to be gone. And then after that, you'd be building, it'd be a team of Butler, an old Chris Paul, Justice Winslow, Adebayo.
Yeah, he has been an arrogant little guy in the preseason, but he's been playing really well in his defense. Tyler Herro, he's someone who I think he was good at Kentucky. I think the spacing in the NBA is going to really benefit him. So I think he's actually – I think obviously Zion's going to win Rookie of the Year. Just I feel like people have already given it to him. But Hero's a dark horse. Let's say Zion gets hurt, misses some games. I think Tyler Herro could end up being the Rookie of the Year. So we'll see. So, yeah, I think Miami finishes top four in the West, that honestly. I think Jimmy Butler – I think he's underrated. I feel like with the whole Minnesota thing, I think people got kind of against Butler. But he's the hardest worker in the NBA. I do not understand why you need to go to the gym at 3 a.m., though I don't see why going at, let's say, 7 a.m. Like, sleep is just so important, you know what I mean? So I don't get what the benefit is of going at 3 in the morning like Butler did. But, well, it worked, I guess. Everyone's talking about it. But, yeah, I love Butler. Bam Adebayo. Good center. Dragic, he almost got moved. So if he does get – if there Miami does make some moves, Dragic could be heading out of there. But just because the East is so weak, I think Miami – I think I have them fourth if I remember like off the top of my head. But, yeah, I actually have Miami third or fourth.
Yeah, no, that would be – I mean, I feel like this – yeah, the Celtics are probably – a better team. I think they're going to be Gordon Hayward's going to be better. And I just think mentally they're going to be healthier is not the right word to use, but I think they're just going to be more together. And then I know the Pacers lost Bogdanovic, but you know, they're getting Oladipo. They're going to get Oladipo back. And so I still have the Pacers or something like that. So I might put the Heat fifth. Yeah, Brooklyn would probably be six. I would need to look at the East a little bit more.
My thing with Boston is their big man rotation without Al Horford.
Somewhere between six and
they just got a bunch of guys off the street. Basically, you're going to be playing the five. So I think if Hayward takes a step, they could get top three, but I have some question marks about Boston.
No. And that's fair, you know, that
we do not.
Like,
all right. I think I have two teams. You have one team. Is that right?
Left player. So,
all right. My team number four is San Antonio.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to see out of them. I love DeJounte Murray, their point guard. Right.
Interesting.
Last year, they pushed the Nuggets to, it was either six or seven. If it was six, it was a close six, but I thought it was seven games. They're adding DeJounte Murray back. They have LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan still. I think Murray just gives them a legitimate third player that they didn't have last year. Last year, they were playing with Derek White, Patty Mills as the point guard, and like kind of the initiating of the offense. I'm high enough on DeJounte Murray where I think even if none of those players are top 20, they got three top, I don't know, 75 players with those guys in my head, where I think Murray initiating the offense, DeMar DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge still being them. And then you got Rudy Gay, Bryn Forbes, Damari Carroll's on the Spurs this year. Jakob Poeltl, like him out of Utah. So I think they got enough guys, but the big thing for them, why I think they'll make the playoffs like they did last year, is DeJounte Murray. I think they have three legitimate players where even Dallas, you can't say that about them. We talked about earlier.
Right. Yeah. No, I think it's really hard to bet against the Spurs not making the playoffs. And I think both you and me like DeMar DeRozan more than most people like DeMar DeRozan. So, yeah, I would probably have them in the playoffs. They are really interesting looking at them at Basketball Reference. Their highest paid players, and I won't say all the names, but 30 years old, 34, 33, 31, 33, 33. And so that is, it's a very old team, but they're all, basically all of them are going to be off their contracts by the 2021-2022 season. And I know that San Antonio is not necessarily a free agent destination, but that would be a team, you know, if you're looking to do like trade away expiring contracts and trying to get picks back, San Antonio might be able to, you know, get some good picks in, get some good packages. So it's going to be interesting to see
how their team, kind of like you thought of Miami, where I don't know where they're going
3 years,
but right now I think they make the playoffs in a tough Western Conference for this season coming up. That's all I wanted to say on San Antonio. I don't have much other than DeJounte Murray right there. But I think they probably get 7-8 seed. You think they make the playoffs?
Let me look at that. So let me go through this just because you've asked me this a few times. So I'll just do it quick. So one seed, this isn't who I think is going to come out of the West, but I think one seed is probably going to end up being the Denver Nuggets. Number two, I'm going to put the Clippers. The three seed, the Jazz. Four seed, Lakers. Five seed, Portland. Six, Houston. Seven, Golden State. And then, yeah, I probably have Houston 8.
Yeah, I got them 7-8.
So, or not Houston, San Antonio, yeah, sorry.
My guy, DeJounte Murray, like Luka, one of my favorite players that I don't have a rooting interest in.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's big potentially for them initiating the offense. Yeah, so no, we just got one more team.
He's fun to watch for sure.
And we haven't mentioned one, so I know who it's going to be for Matt. But Matt, what is your last team on your list? I didn't put them on mine because I knew Matt was going to put them on his. So
it is the Jazz.
They're going to be good. I'm excited. Here, let's talk about the Jazz. Donovan Mitchell shrunk 2 inches with the new Jazz NBA. Exact height thing. So he's only 6'1". Him and Rudy Gobert. I think Rudy Gobert is probably a better player in terms of just overall talent. They added Mike Conley from the Memphis Grizzlies in a trade and Bojan Bogdanovic from the Pacers in free agency. So the starting five is probably going to be Conley, Mitchell, Bogdanovich, Rudy Gobert, and Ed Davis probably starting the four, and then Joe Ingles being the number one guy off the bench. They're probably then Royce O'Neal and Dante Exum and Jeff Green. That's probably their eight deep as far as roster, which is one of the as one to eight, one of the best rosters in the entire league.
Yeah, definitely. I've been hearing a lot that Royce O'Neal might end up starting
would it be
at the
Mitchell,
at four,
Conley, O'Neal, Bogdanovich, and Gobert, and then Ed Davis and Ingles off the bench.
So Ed Davis would pretty much just mirror Rudy whenever Rudy's not playing. Ed Davis would be out there. And then Joe Ingles and Dante Exum, those are probably the two playmakers coming off the bench. And then, you know, you're getting Jeff Green's going to come in a little bit. And then probably Niang and Moutier are the next couple of guys. So Moutier, I'm very curious about Moutier. I don't know if I'm excited about Moutier. But, you know, he's got a lot of potential. If he, you know, kind of taps into the talent that made him such a high draft pick, that could be really, really exciting for the Jazz to have Moutier. But he's getting paid so little, and, you know, if we can keep Dante
Exum. Yeah, Moutier loved him coming out of the China in college. He went to China.
That could be exciting.
So he's going to be a big – probably him and Exum, probably the backup point guard. But really, I think Mitchell – and Joe Ingles will be kind of the quote-unquote backup playmakers when Conley's out of the game. Do you think – what would you put the handicap at or the odds of the Jazz coming out of the West? I think we both probably think the Clippers are the favorite. But what would you say 1 out of 10 chance Jazz make it out of the West and go to the finals? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you said 1 out of 10 because I don't know how betting odds work. So I would say if the Clippers have a 40% chance, I would say that the Lakers and the Jazz each
See,
have
I would put
like
I would put Denver I'd put the
30% chance.
If we're tiering, I'd put the Clippers
so
as
two or
the
three
tier
out of
1
10.
And I'd put Denver, the Lakers and Utah in the same tier 2 for like the next best chance to go out. And the reason just because the Clippers, we're going to talk about them because they're probably the best team in the West on paper, but they weren't on our list. Yeah. But Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, incredible. So I think they have to be considered the favorite. And LeBron and the Lakers, that's LeBron James in playoffs, so you can never doubt him. But I think Utah, this is the best chance they've had to go to the finals since Karl Malone and John Stockton were there. And it's not really close to the as far as like best chance they've had.
Right, and you know, it's precarious. I think that a Dante Exum injury is a lot more problematic this year than it has been in years past. You know, I think a Rudy Gobert injury is really problematic. I think Derek Favors is a better replacement for Rudy Gobert than Ed Davis. You know, I know Ed Davis is going to work really hard, be a really good defensive player, but Derek Favors, from what I understand, was a much better offensive player, and the Jazz use Rudy a lot on offense. A lot of the offense goes around him, even if it doesn't necessarily go through him. So I think that while the Jazz are really good and really deep, I think that they are as susceptible to
I agree, but I do think adding Conley and Bogdanovich, because we saw the last 2 years in the playoffs for Utah, they've gotten pretty much run out of the building by Houston because no one else could, and they've just flat out missed wide open threes. Mitchell got swallowed up by Houston. You're not going to be able to do that with Bogdanovich and Conley. So if Bogdanovich can play like he did at the end of the year for Indiana, Conley does what he did in Memphis, then that's going to open so much things up for Donovan Mitchell. And you're right, everyone knows Rudy Gobert is a two-time defensive player of the year in the NBA. He's the best defender. I think him and Joel Embiid are the best defenders in the league. But his usage rate on offense, if you watch Utah closely and consistently, you've noticed how much it's improved year to year and how more developed his offensive game. It used to be he went from not being able to catch a ball in traffic to a central part of the offense. So I think if you watch Utah more, you're going to see how important Gobert is on offense as well to Utah. And that's going to give them – they, unlike, let's say, like Dallas, I know that's the team. We had questions because they had one, two guys if Porzingis is healthy. Utah has – 3 to 4 guys, and then plus Gobert is a fantastic like secondary option in the offense who can take over a game and be the leading scorer, which is going to be huge for them because you need that depth to get a good home court advantage in the regular season. And then the playoffs, you need that depth as well to make it through. So I think Utah's going to have a good year. I think I'm picking them West semifinals, finals, depending on as far as like Western Conference, depending on how the brackets go. But I think overall, I would have them as the second best team behind the Clippers, and I'm trying to be as unbiased as I can because I really like the Lakers for the most part. I love the Nuggets, but I think Utah did more than Denver did to get better this offseason.
I think so, too. And the problem with the Jazz, like you've said, is just when they get in those situations where they don't make threes. And so this year, if you look at the starting lineup, and you can change a lot of power forwards if you go either Ingles or O'Neal a power forward. And honestly, Jeff Green, I would need to double-check his three-point percentage. But what you end up with is you have a starting and a closing lineup where the worst non-Gobert, and Gobert does so many things that we're not worried about his three-point percentage, but the worst non-Gobert three-point shooter would be Donovan Mitchell, and last year he shot 36% from three, which isn't spectacular, but if that's your, like, you're very happy as a coach if your player shoots 36% from three, you're comfortable with that, and if he's going to be your worst and he's surrounded with Ingles, who's 45, and Conley, who's close to 40, and Bogdanovich, who's also close to 45, like that is they're for them to have a bad 3-point night. It would be like when the Rockets lost in the Western Conference finals, where they missed like 29 in a row for just no reason. You would have to have something like that. And I'm gonna lean over and knock on some wood real quick.
I think it'll be good. Matt, my that last team, happen,
but
I was debating between this I'm team in Orlando, but I went with the Atlanta Hawks. Optimistic. A lot of that has to do with that preseason game against New York. Vince Carter all went right, off.
Atlanta Hawks.
But I think they're going to be bad, but the East is so bad. I think they have a outside shot, I'd say, of making the playoffs, getting as like 6, 7, 8 seed. Trae Young is better than I thought he was going to be. Coming out of Oklahoma, this is going to be a second year. Kevin Huerter, didn't know who he was till last year. He's been really good. John Collins is fantastic coming out of Wake Forest. They got Vince Carter, obviously. They got Alan Crabb, who's a serviceable player in the NBA, a serviceable wing player. I love DeAndre Hunter. I'll say I like DeAndre Hunter, love Cam Reddish. And most of my Cam Reddish love is based off of what he did in high school because he really had an up-and-down year at Duke. I think there's still a lot of growth and 1 or 2 players away from being a contender in the East, but Atlanta's doing the rebuild the right way. So I'm excited to see how much of a step they take this year is why they're on the list.
Yeah, no. And they're going to be a fun team to watch. You know, I don't have league pass, but if I did, I think Atlanta would be kind of my league pass team that I would want to watch just because I think Trae Young, he is good. He's really fun to watch, though. Vince Carter's obviously very fun to watch. John Collins is fun to watch. So yeah, I think they're doing it the right way, and you know it'll be interesting to see how Trae Young and John Collins develop. But
he's good. You know, Cam Reddish, if he can get back to shooting
this Hunter like he did growing up in
high school, then they're going to be really good, I think. Matt, fun fact: Evan Turner and Jabari Parker are on the Hawks. Something like that, yeah. So, did not know that. Again, learned did that in preseason game. I don't know why I was watching a Hawks-Knicks preseason game, but I was. But, yeah, so I'm excited to see the Hawks. I don't think they make the playoffs, but I think if things go right for them, they can get in. I think them, Orlando, Chicago, kind of being the last two teams. I think Orlando, and as nervous as I am to say this, I kind of think Chicago will sneak in the playoffs, but no, screw it. I think Atlanta is better than Chicago. I'm going with Atlanta to make playoffs in the East. It's a crazy
problem. Isn't it so nuts that we're picking between whether Chicago or Atlanta is going to make the playoffs?
It's so unreal. Honestly, like I think
the Thunder
Other than Philadelphia and the Mavericks aren't Milwaukee going to make it. There's a shot that like 10 teams or 12 teams in the West could be better than every other team in the East. It's unreal. All right. So those are five teams NBA. We're recording this on Monday, the 21st. The NBA starts tomorrow. Yeah. Most of the games will be going on by Wednesday. Excited. Very excited. I love doing NBA games. One game we're going to do in a week or two is we're going to do our dream team. That's like a realistic salary cap team. So like based on current contracts, trying to build the best team. My team, I already got started. I just need a wing player I'm excited about. So that's what we'll do in a week or two. Matt, let's do your marathon thing, and then we'll tune out for the week.
Oh, yeah. So, Eliud Kipchoge, the Kenyan, broke the 2 hours in the marathon, and I don't care very much. I do not think it's as impressive as most people think. And what you've got to understand about this attempt, it wasn't really a marathon. Like, it was 26.2 miles, but it wasn't a race. He didn't – so the whole time he had, like, seven pacers that were in front of him breaking the wind, giving him emotional support, and then obviously, you know, the physical support of being able to draft and all that stuff. You know, the course was designed for him. It was actually more downhill than it was uphill, so it wouldn't have worked. Even if it had been run against other racers, then it wouldn't have counted anyway, because to be eligible for a marathon world record, there can't be a change in elevation over a certain amount, and he exceeded that going the wrong way, going down. And so by the way, this isn't really to talk trash on Kipchoge. Like, I think Kipchoge is the best marathon runner of all time. I just think that we should be more impressed with his gold medal in the Olympic marathon. Or honestly, when what he does hold the world record in the marathon, running 2 hours, 1 minute, 39 seconds. To me, that's much more impressive than this breaking 2 hours in the marathon thing, because then he didn't have pacers. He was running not by himself. He was with other runners, but there was a lot of times where he had to go and he had to set the pace on his own, which is much more challenging than breaking 2 hours. I just think we get really excited about this 2 hours because it's a good round number, and if the person who had designed clocks,
it does make sense,
had designed them differently.
For all your marathon questions or thoughts, Matt's
that kind of make sense? Yeah. Also, and another thing that was more impressive than him breaking the 2 hours in the marathon is that we had a woman, Bridget Koskei, another Kenyan. She broke Paula Radcliffe's world record in the marathon. And that is a record that most, like, people who actually understand sports science, they think for the women, her performance was more impressive than Kipchoge's two-hour marathon. So another reason to be less excited
about
this.
It's the patriarchy, you know, just keeping the women down.
Stunt, basically, is what I think Kipchoge's done.
Well, appreciate Matt for the marathon thoughts. We started off with some overlap, but ended up with some different teams. So hope everybody's excited for the NBA playoffs. We're going to talk about that a lot. Obviously, we talk about a lot of football that's going on right now. Going to do some soccer stuff because the playoffs are going on right now. So remember to subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, iHeartRadio, anywhere you get your podcasts. Rate and review. Tell us how much you like us. Instagram and social media, Twitter, all that stuff. It's at MJ Double Take. For Matt, Twitter is at MattCowden24. My Twitter and Instagram is at JacobCowden28. Appreciate all the thoughts, letting everybody know how much they appreciate, or if they don't, let us know what they want to do different. Appreciate everybody. It's been fun. This is one of the funner ones, I think. I'm very excited for the NBA, and we will talk to y'all next week.